أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحاقة ما الحاقة وما أدراك ما الحاقة كذبت ثمود وعاد بالقارعة فأما ثمود فأهلكوا بالطاغية وأما عاد فأهلكوا بريح صرصر عاتية سخرها عليهم سبع ليال وثمانية أيام حسوما فترى القوم فيها صرعى كأنهم أعجاز نخل خاوية فهل ترى لهم من باقية وجاء فرعون ومن قبله والمؤتفكات بالخاطئة فعصوا رسول ربهم فأخذهم أخذة رابية صدق الله العظيم. The surah is called Surah Al-Haqqah, which is, we all can see it, is driven from, the name of the surah is driven from the first ayah of the surah. The first ayah by itself is Al-Haqqah. Haqqah yahiqqu in Arabic language means for something to be certain. If you know something, it will take place for sure. You say it's haqq, it's true. This is why this Islam is called Deenul Haqq, the true deen, which means it's certain. Everything in this deen is extremely certain and there are no doubts about it. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. There are no doubts in the book. By itself is explaining that this is Deenul Haqq. So when we say Deenul Haqq, what is Deenul Haqq? Is a deen where there is no doubt. لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. So same thing, whatever is certain, it will be called Haqq. And therefore, the Day of Judgment is called Al-Haqqah, which means it's so certain, is a reality which everyone is certain about, and it's so certain whether people will agree or not. It does not, the reality does not change by some people not agreeing with it. So, the Day of Judgment is certain and there is no doubt about it. And now we might think that there are people who say no, they have doubt about it. So how about those people? As I said, there are so many things in the world that are real and they have reality behind it. Some people will always be there who would reject the realities, but because of people rejecting realities, realities do not change. And this is something that we have to, the more we understand this point, the better reality we understand of everything around us in the world. So we need to understand the reality of the reality itself. What is reality? Reality is something that does not change by people doubting it. Always remember this. And then, once you are certain about this, and you know what reality is, now just imagine if you did something and everyone stands admiring you for it. People say, oh, so great, you are such a nice person, you are this, you are that. If you know your reality, you know what you really are. In your heart, you know all the other 100 things that you have done people are not aware of. So that's a reality does not change by people just saying one good thing about you. So we should realize reality is always the real. And everything other than that is false. Same thing. Sometime you might do one thing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people do not like it. You know the reality. Don't stop doing that good thing just because people do not like, because that thing is real and there is reality behind it and it does not change because people not liking it. So it's very important that we understand the reality of the reality. We understand what reality is. And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, look at his knowledge and the extent of his knowledge. He taught us this point 1400 years back. When he told us that you are a real human being, when people's admiration or accusation does not halt or hurt you. When people start admiring you so much, and they start admiring you too much, you don't get misled by that admiration. And when people accuse you too much, you don't, at the same time, you don't get misled by that accusation either. People see, when they see you performing the salah, they laugh at you, they make fun of you, they say, what are you doing? You're doing it just to show off. You know that there is reality behind the salah. So don't stop doing it. It's a point, if we understand it, really it will solve a lot of problems in our lives. You find so many people, ask them, why don't you come to masjid? He says, I don't like this person or that person in the masjid. I don't like this thing or that thing in the masjid. There is some reality behind your ibadah. That's the house of Allah. What you do over there is the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know the reality behind it. Irrespective of what people will say about what you have been doing, you know the reality. They don't know the reality of your ibadah. So let's keep on doing the ibadah, which has a reality behind it, and don't stop doing what is real just for the falsehood that people are thinking about. At the same time, on the other hand, when people admire us too much, don't get misled by that either. There is a reality behind it. We all know our realities, so don't forget your reality. A person walking very arrogantly passed by one of the scholars who asked him to walk humbly. He said, don't you know who I am? And he happened to be the son of the king. In other words, the prime minister. In those days, he is the one who will be the king after his father. So he says, don't you know who I am? He says, yes, I know. And I know you better than you know yourself. Otherwise, you won't walk like this. Then he told him who you are. He says, أَوَّلُكَ نُطْفَةٌ مَذِرَةٌ وَآخِرُكَ جِيفَةٌ قَذِرَةٌ وَأَنْتَ بَيْنَ تَحْذَالِكَ تَحْمِلُ الْعَذِرَةٌ. Your beginning was stinking small drop of semen. And your end will be a dead body eaten up by the insects. And in between that, you carry a lot of dirt within your body. This is your reality if you don't know it. Really, if we look at ourselves, how many times we get misled by doing a couple of good things and we forget our reality, wake up one day in the morning, don't wash your face and don't brush your teeth and just walk out of your home, go to your job, and then see what people say about you. This is our reality. If we don't keep on washing ourselves up, we get so dirty that we even dislike ourselves. How many times we say, I have to take a shower? Why? I'm not satisfied with myself at this time. The person is not satisfied with him or herself. So, anyway, I was explaining the word haqq, truth, reality, al-haqqa. There are some realities that are they are so sure that even before they would take place, they are real and there is no doubt about them that they will be taking place for sure. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word al-haqqa for the day of judgment in this ayah of Quran al-Kareem. Reality. What is this reality? Malhaqqa. What is this reality? وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحَاقَّةِ. And O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what will make you know what is this reality? What this reality is? If you now change the wordings and translate the meaning of the ayah, not the words of the ayah, you put the meanings of the ayah up front, so you will be saying the day of judgment. What is the day of judgment? And what will make you know what the day of judgment is? So al-haqqa is referring to the day of judgment. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling it a reality. And I just explained what is reality. And we just understand now the reality of the reality and what is really the reality of the life. After mentioning this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحَاقَّةِ وَمُحَمَّدْ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what would make you know what reality is, what the Day of Judgment is. The reason is asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell the ummah that when you people believe in the Day of Judgment, you don't really know the reality of the day. It's not just an easy day. It's a very severe day. It's going to be a hard day. يَوْمَنْ يَجْعَلُ الْوِلْدَانَ شِيبًا. It's a day that even young people will become old on that day. This is the ayah of Quran. Why? How come the young people will become old? See, when you have a gray hair, you have gray hairs, and someone will tell you, you're so young and you have gray hairs, you say, I have so many problems. You don't know what I have gone through. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at his last year of his life, at the end of his life, he had some gray hairs, they asked him, Ya Rasulullah, you became old so fast. So early you have these gray hairs. He was 63. Nowadays we get gray hairs in 30s. He was 63 and they're saying, Ya Rasulullah, you have gray hairs so fast. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Shayyabatni Hud. Surah Hud and surah similar to that surah made me old because of the hardship of the Day of Judgment that's mentioned in these surahs. When I read those surahs, I think about the hardships my ummah will have to go through on the Day of Judgment. That's making me look like how I look now. We go through all the hardships of the worldly things. And because of these hardships we see ourselves, some of the people are losing hair totally, some of them are having gray hair. So, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the day will be so hard. The young people will start looking like they're old people because of the hardship of the day. Now, يَوْمَنْ يَجْعَلُ الْوِلْدَانَ شِيبًا. This is what it means, that it will be a day that will make the young people look like old person because of the hardship of those day, of the day. And of course, that is the Day of Judgment. And there are ahadith that talk about the hardships of the Day of Judgment. With all of those ahadith still, we can really not understand the real hardship of it. Say if you try to explain to a person how painful it is to go through some type of surgery. When you have a root canal, for example, you tell someone root canal is very painful. And you give him all the words you have in your dictionary to explain the hardship of it. And then after he would go through that, then ask him, what did he feel? And he will tell you, it's something I can't explain. With everything that you told him, with all the words he has in his dictionary, and yet, he will tell you this. I can't even tell you how it was. There are so many things we go through in our life, and finally, that will be the final word that I can't even explain to you how I felt at that time. This is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, that with all the ayahs that are explaining what the Day of Judgment is going to be, and hardships of the Day of Judgment, with all the ahadith that talk about the hardship of the Day of Judgment, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحَاقَّةِ. What would make you know what the Day of Judgment is? Still you don't know it. Finally, all what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, there are no words that can express the real thing that you will be going through on the Day of Judgment. Therefore, it's really a call to prepare, a call to the ummah that prepare yourself for that day. And how can we prepare? All the hardship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about regarding the Day of Judgment in Quran al-Kareem, they can be avoided. All of that can be avoided. How? That is also mentioned in Quran al-Kareem. and next ayahs, very briefly will touch that subject of how to avoid the punishment of Akhirah and the hardships of the Day of Judgment. Just before proceeding further with the ayahs, I just remember one thing, a hadith, that I should mention it, that will at least express some feeling of what people will be going through in the Akhirah. And still, even after that hadith, the ayah is telling us, still you don't know the reality of the hardships of the day. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when I was taken for Mi'raj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed me some people. They had big stomachs. And their stomachs were such that I can see through it. They were full of snakes. The stomachs are full of snakes. I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I asked Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, Jibreel, who are these people? Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam replied, Ha'ulai akalatul riba. These are the people who used to use interest. Then I passed by some other people who had some sharp knives in their hands, and they were cutting their own mouth, starting from the lip till they will get to their throat almost, and cutting it from both sides. Once they will cut it one side, they will cut the other side, and by the time they cut the other side, that this side will be fixed, and then they will be cutting this side, and they are switching between the two sides and cutting their own souls. I asked Jibreel, who are these people? Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, these are the people who used to spread rumors against people in the world. Just imagine the punishment. Now look at the hadith when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us, there will be some people on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assign the punishment for them that angels will be melting the lead into their ears. Lead will be melted with the hellfire into their ears. Who will be those people? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs us, those are the people who had the habit of listening to the music. In other hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, there will be people who will have lead melted and put into their eyes. Who are those people? Those are the people who had the habit of looking at women that are not related to them. Non-mahram women. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحَاقَى. What would make you know what the Day of Judgment is? Is a day with all of these things. Is a day that will come with all of these things. And just for us to have a little understanding of it, imagine when there is a little storm and lightning, how frightened we get. And everyone is trying to get to his home as soon as he can. Just imagine you are sitting at your home and the roof of the house starts flying away. What will be the feeling of the person who would see the roof of the house flying away in front of his eyes? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Quran al-Kareem that the Day of Judgment is a day when not the roof of your home, everything will be flying away, the mountains will be flying like cotton. إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ. The sun will lose its light. If a day it's the tea time and the sun will lose its light, how would we feel in the darkness of the daytime? وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ انْكَدَرَتْ. All the stars will lose the light. Sun, moon, stars, everything will lose its light, will break apart. Mountains are flying away. What will be the situation of a human standing at that day on the earth? All he will see is just an open space, dust around him. Nothing exists anymore. So, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحَاقَ. Again, the bottom line is, irrespective of what we know about the Day of Judgment, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحَاقَّةِ, still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what would make you know what the Day of Judgment is? What that reality is. It is a reality, it's something that will be taking place for sure. The message of the ayah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of the Day of Judgment and is telling us you better prepare for that day before the day would come. And just going before going further, one more hadith that is a very important hadith about protection against the punishment of the akhirah and against the hardships of the Day of Judgment. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs us in the hadith that day the sun will be only a fist away from people's head. Only a fist away from people's head. And people will be standing and under the sun and they will be sweating bad. And some of the people will have sweat up to their ankles according to their sins. Some of them will have the sweat up to their ankles, some up to their knees, some of their chest up to their chest, and some of them will be drowning in their sweat. In their own sweat, not someone else's sweat. This is how much people will be sweating. But at that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, there will be 7 type of people who will have the shed even on that day. Subhanallah. Even that day when the sun only a fist away and zillions of people standing under the heat of that sun, 7 categories of people will still be safe from that hardship of the day and they will have the shed that day. سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ تَحْتَ ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلَّ. Number 1, إِمَامٌ عَادِلٌ, a just ruler. To be a king, khalifa, amir, ruler, and to be just at the same time is not an easy task. As soon as the person holds the seat, just imagine within our own limited power that we have in our homes or wherever, how many times we start misusing the power. If the person is a king, of course he has much more power. So, a ruler who is not an oppressor, who does not do wrong to others. Number 2, شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ, a young person who grew up doing the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He spent his youth in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a very important part of our life. This is a very important edge of our life. At this time we can do a lot. شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ. Number 3, رَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ, a person whose heart is attached with the house of Allah, with the masjid. He's thinking of the masjid. I have to do this work in the masjid. I have to go and perform salah in the masjid. It's almost time for jama'ah. Let me run to the masjid. I have to get up and catch the jama'ah in the masjid. If I'm going out for shopping, let me think what masjid is around the area so I can perform the salah in the masjid. He's always thinking about the masjid. Number 4. رَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّا فِي اللَّهِ اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ. Those two people who love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They got together just on the name of Allah. They don't expect anything else from each other. وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ, when they separated from each other, it was also for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they had to go somewhere for the deen of Allah, for the work of Allah. So they got together, which means their whole relationship was only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in another hadith, another step to this, that on the Day of Judgment, people will see some people having a real nice crown, a nice seat to sit on. So other people will be asking, who are these fortunate people? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inform them that these are the people who were far away from each other. They had never seen each other, but they loved each other because for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when we hear that there is a person far away from us, he's doing such a great work of deen, we'll have some love for that person in our heart. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us the virtue for this. Having the love for those people who are away from us. And then having love simply means when they have been attacked by others who are rejecting their service to Deen, we defend those people. Having the love for those who are doing the service for the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number five. Is it five? رَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ. A person who was by himself, he was doing the dhikr of Allah. He was remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and started weeping with the love of Allah or with the fear of Allah. So the person was weeping by himself when he's by himself. In public, shaitan comes in picture. And he tries to tell us, here people are watching you. After some days he will tell you, you know, people think so good about you now. But this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam puts the condition khaliyan. A person was by himself and he remembered Allah was doing the dhikr of Allah and he started weeping. Number six. Before number six, I just remembered another hadith about this number five. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us another hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves two types of drops. One is a drop of tear that comes out of the eyes because of the fear of Allah. A person remembers his sins and thinks about the wrongdoings that he has been doing in his life, fears Allah, and starts weeping. And the second drop that Allah loves is the drop of blood that comes out, that's shed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A drop of blood that drips for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, when a person cries with the love of Allah, with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherever those drops will touch of his body, the hellfire will not be allowed to burn those parts of the body. Subhanallah, our own drops of tears can be so important if they come out with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Human beings really have been given a lot of importance in Islam. Just imagine if a drop of a human being, if a drop from his eyes is so important in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how about the rest of the body? Number six. The sixth person who will have the shed on the Day of Judgment. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, رَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ فَأَخْفَاهَا حَتَّى لَا تَعْلَمُ يَمِينُهُ مَا تُنْفِقُ وَشِمَالُهُ. A person who gives out a charity so secretly that even his hand doesn't know, the left hand doesn't know what he has given with the right hand. He just gives it secretly. No one in the world knows about it. And number seven, رَجُلٌ دَعَتْهُ إِمْرَأَةٌ ذَاتُ مَنْصَبٍ وَجَمَالٍ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. A person who was invited by a woman to commit zina, adultery, وَالْعِيَازُ بِاللَّهِ. And she was pretty and of a good noble family. But in spite of all of the attractions that is there, still he said, Inni akhafullah, I fear Allah. I cannot commit this sin. So these are the people, seven categories of people Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned who will be under the shed on the Day of Judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, الحاقة ما الحاقة وما أدراك ما الحاقة كذبت ثمود وعاد بالقارعة. One of the main cause of destruction of on the Day of Judgment is denying the Day of Judgment. كذبت ثمود وعاد بالقارعة. ثمود and عاد, both of them denied the striking hour. قرعة means to knock on something very hard. A hard knock on a door is qara al-bab. And the Day of Judgment is called al-qari'ah, as we know it in another ayah, al-qari'atu mal-qari'ah is a surah. Al-qari'atu mal-qari'ah wa ma'adraka mal-qari'ah is the name of the Day of Judgment. It's called al-qari'ah because it will shake the person up. It will knock our heart so hard that nothing in the world before that have ever shaken, has shaken us before like that before. So it will really be shaking the people. And therefore it's called Al-Qari'ah. So that's another name of the Day of Judgment. So كذبت ثمود وعاد بالقارعة. Thamud and Ad denied the day of judgment. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling it Al-Qari'ah, the shaking hour, the striking hour that will strike it so hard that it will shake the person up. So this is the meaning of Al-Qari'ah. فَأَمَّا ثَمُود فَأُهْلِكُوا بِالطَّاغِيَةِ. As for Thamud, they were destroyed by an excessively severe punishment. طَاغِيَة. Look at the word طَاغِيَة that is in the ayah. طَغَى means in Arabic language to transgress the limits, to go beyond every limit. A person who has no limit, he just would do anything in his life, is called a طَاغِيَة. Normally, this word is used for oppressor ruler in Arabic language, because he feels he has no limits. He can do whatever he wants. This is why it's called طَاغِيَة. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمَّا ثَمُود, as far as ثَمُود, أُهْلِكُوا, halak, destroyed. They were destroyed by what? الطَّاغِيَة. By the thing that was transgressing all the limits. He did not mention what type of punishment, remember. In some of the translation, I think even the one that you have, I don't know what it says.
Storm.
So really the word طَاغِيَة, now you can understand, does not mean a storm. This is mentioning the fact behind it, but is not what the ayah is saying. طَغَى, as I said, طَاغِيَة means extremely strong. A thing that will never stop at any limit. This is what a طَاغِيَة means. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, they were punished and they were destroyed by the type of punishment, irrespective what in what form the punishment came. In whichever form, it was so severe that it was not stopping at any limit. So people had not seen that type of punishment before in the world. This is how extremely strong the punishment was. And what type of punishment? We know it from the ayahs of Al-Quran Al-Kareem, that they had different punishments. One of them was a storm, but the main punishment that really destroyed them was a strong noise. A noise that started and continued in them. So, it was continuously they would be hearing a strong noise. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Hud, فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الصَّيْحَةِ فَأَخَذَتِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا الصَّيْحَةِ. The wrongdoers were destroyed by the sewer noise. So it was a noise that was, they had such a strong noise that their ears could not take it anymore. And finally, that noise became a cause for taking their lives. وَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَأُهْلِكُوا بِرِيحٍ صَرْصَرٍ عَاتِيَةٍ. As far as Ad, they were destroyed by furious, violent wind. Look at the words first thing, so that we can understand the ayah properly. Rih means wind. Sarsar means extremely cold. Sarsar means extremely cold. And when the cold is too strong, it will burn you. And I really experienced that myself. Once, I was in Edmonton. It was minus 45. And people told me that don't touch the door of the car without the gloves. And as I was sitting in one of those days, I was about to sit in the car and I really did not take that too seriously. So I did not have the gloves on me. I said, I'll just pull it quick. As soon as I touched the door, the fingers got stuck to the door, to the handle of the door. And the skin was as it was burned, if it was burned in the fire. Rihin sarsar. This is what sarsar means. Extremely cold. Atiya, again, the word utu means violation, transgressing the limits. This is again a similar word. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when He destroyed the nation of Ad, this is how He destroyed them. That a wind started blowing. Of course, in the beginning, they did not take it too seriously. But look at the next ayah. سَخَّرَهَا عَلَيْهِمْ سَبْعَ لَيَالٍ وَثَمَانِيَةَ أَيَّامٍ حُسُومًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I imposed that wind on them for 7 nights and 8 days in succession. Continuously for seven nights and 8 days. Continuously they had extremely cold wind. And not only cold, it's even strong. It's a storm. It's atiyah, violent. That is blowing them away also. So it's blowing everything away. Does not leave the windows on the homes. Does not leave the doors over there. The doors and windows, everything is flying away. Nothing is there to protect them from the air. And the air is extremely cold. This was the punishment that was through which they were destroyed. And we can really imagine this punishment. Especially being in this town. When it gets extremely cold. And sometimes you feel, I just want to go out. I can't take this cold anymore. So, and we need to remember, in Akhirah, as this was the punishment in this life, even in Akhirah, there are two types of punishments. Jahannam, when we normally say Jahannam, we are referring to only one punishment. But in Akhirah, there is two types of punishment. One is a cold punishment, the other is a hot punishment. And both of these punishments are mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari, but for some reason people don't even pay attention to it. There is a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, شَكَتِ النَّاسُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا. The hellfire, شَكَتِ النَّارُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا. The hellfire complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, رَبِّي أَكَلَ بَعْضِي بَعْضًا. Ya Allah, I'm destroying myself. I'm eating up myself. فَأَذِنَ لَهَا بِنَفَسَيْنِ. Allah allowed the punishment to have two breaths that will release it a little. نَفَسٌ فِي الشِّتَاءِ وَنَفَسٌ فِي الصَّيِّ. One cold breath and the other is a hot breath. The cold pan of the punishment takes a cold breath. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all the cold that exists in the world is because of that cold breath of that punishment. And all the heat that is in the world is because of the hot breath of the hellfire. So, there are two types of punishments over there. وَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَأُهْلِكُوا بِرِيحٍ صَرْصَرٍ عَاتِيَةٍ سَخَّرَهَا عَلَيْهِمْ سَبْعَ لَيَالٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala imposed that punishment for them for 7 days and 8 nights in succession, continuously. فَتَرَى الْقَوْمَ فِيهَا صَرْعَى. You would see people laying down, overthrown in that punishment. صَرْعَى. صَرْعَى يَصْرَعُ means to throw down someone, to wrestle down someone. This is why wrestling is called مُصَارَعَى. مُصَارَعَى means wrestling each other down. So, Sara'a, you will see them overthrown, thrown down on the ground, and they were so tall and strong people. كَأَنَّهُمْ أَعْجَازُ نَخْلٍ خَاوِيَةٍ. You would see those people as if they were the trunks of hollow palms, or the ajaz. They were the roots of the hollow palm trees. There were long people, the people of Ad. They were so tall that it says in the Tafaseer, and Imam Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi, I've narrated many in al-Bidayah wa al-Nihayah in the history, that they used to pull the trees just with one hand. Strong and tall people. They used to pull the tree just with one hand. And this reminds me, when we went to, once we went to a museum, this is a long time back, and this was in California. And the person who was showing us, that we had a person who was coaching and he was telling us everything from there. So because someone told him that he's this. So the people from the museum, they had a person to be with us and show us everything. So he showed us some big bones and he said, this is dinosaurs. So I asked him, how did you figure that out? He says, because there is nothing exists nowadays that is like this. And it's so big that there is nothing else that can be except the dinosaurs. I asked him what his religion was and he was a Christian. I said, what do you believe about Adam alayhi salam and previous nations? Were they as tall as we are or they were taller than us? So he also said, because the person had knowledge about that field, so he said, yeah, I know they were tall people. I said to him, according to the hadith, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was 60 feet tall. 60 feet tall. So now I told him, this is a point for us to understand, that if a person is 60 feet tall, his horse is not going to be like our horse. His chicken will be as big as our horse. He need a big chicken. Our chicken is only one handful to him. He's 60 feet tall. So now, if you find his camel, you are going to call it a dinosaur. So, wallahu a'lam what these things are, but I was just mentioning that those were tall people, the people of Ad. They were strong people and tall people. And there are a lot of narrations in the history about just explaining their how tall they were and how strong they were. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you would see them, if you would see that town after the punishment, you will think that these are all trunks of the trees that are laying down on the ground. But those were human beings. فَهَلْ تَرَى لَهُمْ مِنْ بَاقِيَةٍ Do you see anyone of them surviving? No, none of them survives anymore. They all were destroyed when they denied the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in a hadith that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends any wind, any air, or any water in the world, it comes with an exact measurement and with an exact weight. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished the people of Nuh with the water and the people of Ad with the wind, that was a time when he opened it without any measurement, he just opened it on those people. This hadith in Al-Qurtubi. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because of this, because of that punishment, you don't see any of them left over. Everyone, every single person was destroyed. Here there are a few points that I would like to mention. One is, after reading these type of ayahs, sometime if you would present these ayahs to non-Muslims, and sometime even to those Muslims who do not have proper information of Islam, they might have a question, why such a severe punishment? Why such a severe punishment in the Akhirah? That people will go through all of this, they will be cutting themselves, they will be burning in the hellfire, they will be laying down on the ice because of that, they will have such a cold place to live in. Why all of that punishment is for? And the answer really, if we look at it, it's very simple and very easy to understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. He told us all of this beforehand. It's not that all of a sudden we will go over there and find out, oh, this is what's there. I wish I knew that all of this is there so I would have been doing something different. It's not like that. He told us already that this is what's over there. And he's informing us of a reality that's ahead of us. Now, if we don't listen to him, and if we don't trust him, and still we would like to go and try it ourselves, wal'ayazu billah, then this is the person who's doing wrong to himself. This is why again and again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ النَّاسَ شَيْئًا وَلَكِنَّ النَّاسَ أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. Allah does not do wrong to people. People are doing wrong to themselves. It's very simple. He already told us, there is a ditch in front of you, and someone told you that there is a ditch over there, and it's so deep that if you get in there, you will never survive, and still you want to try and you drive over that direction. Then whose fault it is? There is a curve, and there are signs all over, curve, reduce the speed, and still you would like to continue with the same fast speed of the highway at that curve, and you have a car accident. Whose fault it is? There are signs there already. The street is, there is a cross running over there, there is a stop sign, and it says stop, and still you decided not to stop, and you continue and the car comes and hits you. Whose fault it is? The signs are already there. The whole Quran is already there telling us what's over there. And still the person says, no, I would like to try. And still he wants to go further. And still he does not want to stop. There are stop signs in Quran. So that's stop. This is your limit. You can't go beyond your limit. And here the person says, no, I don't want to use this stop sign. That stop sign is important, but this stop sign is not important. That yield sign is important. This yield sign is not important. Irrespective of how much hurry we are in and how fast you have to get to wherever you want to go. If there is a stop sign, you'll make sure that you'll stop and make sure that there is no car coming from the other direction. But if I'm in hurry, then I have time of Salah, I don't have the 5 minutes for Salah. Over there, the person will stop. If there are 5 stop signs and he knows he's going to take him 5 extra minutes to stop, he will still make sure to stop, because if he will continue, he might end up just losing his life and not getting where he has to go. Same thing. The person is trying hard and hard in his life. Why? For the comfort of the life. To achieve something, we have to realize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to stop. When that stop sign comes, you have to stop the work and do what Allah is telling you to do. Otherwise, you may not get where you have to go. The whole Quran is there. So these are not harsh punishments. This is there, a fact that is there, and Allah is informing us it's there. But again, someone will say, who put it there? Allah put it there. So how come it's not lighter? Of course, one is Allah is Hakim. We cannot question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا يسأل عما يفعل. He cannot be asked of what he does. وهم يسألون. We can be asked, but he cannot be asked. But at the same time, just imagine, if someone tries to get into your home, and does think at your home, what you don't like him to do. All of a sudden he comes to your home, he gets into your bedroom. Your wife is sleeping there, he just walked into the bedroom. Your children are sleeping in the room. He just goes and sits. He goes and sleeps in your children's bed. What is it that you would do to this person? Now, different people might have different answers, but it all will get back to something. I'll get rid of this man. I'll make sure that he will never do that again. The worst thing you can do in your life, you would do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this universe. And he created us in this universe. He told us, don't touch these things. This is my home. Don't touch these things. And you go and start playing with those things. And he again told us, don't touch these things. But still you don't want to stop. You look at something, he says, don't look there. That direction is forbidden for you. Don't look there. And you still want to continue looking. Come on, don't look over there. Still look. He's going to pull your eyes out. And this is what you would do if someone would do the same thing in your home. One of the Christian priests who was living, I think, in United Arab Emirates. And, you know, tax-free money. People like to go and earn in those countries and bring the money back over here. So he earned for so many years, and all the time he used to object against the punishments of Islam. And especially, he used to say that look at the importance of wealth in Islam, that if someone will steal someone's money, They cut his hand. So the importance of people's wealth is more than their hand in Islam. And of course, there is explanation to this, which I don't want to go into the detail of it at this time. But as this person is always objecting to it, he lived over there for over 20 years. And of course, he earned a lot. As he was ready to come back in the days he's preparing to come back, some people around him knew, in the neighborhood, they knew that this person made a lot of money and he's ready to leave now. So they found out where he kept all of his things, and they went, they broke into the storage or whatever he had, and they took all of his stuff. Next morning he goes over there, nothing exists anymore. Imagine how upset the person is going to be, his earning of 23 years, of some over 20 years. So he's looking around, making reports here and there. Someone asks him, what would you do if you find those people? I'm going to kill the person. He says, see, Islam says, just cut his hand, and you're saying you're going to kill the person? Islam says, just cut the hand. And you object to that thing. And you're saying you're going to kill the person? So this is what it is. Allah is Hakim, His wise. Out of His wisdom, He said everything the proper way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, same thing, what we do over here and what we think we would do if person people will do wrong into our home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is my home, everything is my property, I will tell you how to do, how to deal with it, what to use, what not to use, and if you would not listen to me, then this is what it is. The second point that we understand from these ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us that whenever nations, majority people of the nation, they start rejecting the words of Allah, they start rejecting the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the punishment comes. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith that if a nation, if a community, any group of people will have majority of them who agree on evils, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish the whole nation. Then, on the day of judgment, if the good people who are not doing the evils, if those people stayed away from these people, they will be raised according to the deeds they were performing, which means they will be saved from the punishment of the akhirah. But at least in this world, they will be destroyed with the rest of the people. And if those people did not stay away from them and did not even stop them, then those people will also be with them in the akhirah. So this is the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when majority people of the nation that decide doing the evils, and here we can remember and remind ourselves of so many countries and Muslim countries, when we get together on the name of that country, there are a lot of people who will have groups of people made according to their backgrounds, and as long as that does not break us as Muslims, and people just get together because we are from this country, it should be okay. But if we, all of the people of that country, who get together on the name of the country and agree on doing evils, and every time those people are doing evils, we are representing those countries with evils. And the country, in other words, is represented only by evils. Everywhere is evils. At that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the hidayah away from the whole country. And the punishment comes for the whole country, even though there are some virtuous people and good people amongst them. So this is with every nation, with every community, with every group of people. This is the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there are good people, still the punishment will come if the majority of the people will agree on doing the evils. And the second thing is, if these people who are good, if they did not stop them or did not stay away from them, they have to do one of the two things. Either stay away from them, and has told them, we have nothing to do with you people. Number two, if you can't do that, you be with them, you eat with them, you drink with them, you join them in their gatherings, then you have to stop them from doing those things. If these two things are not taken care of, and those people, virtuous people, are not doing these two things, they're doing their ibadahs, they're being virtuous, they're giving the charities, they're performing hajj, but they are not stopping or staying away from them, even on the Day of Judgment, they will be with those people because of staying with them in this life without stopping them from doing the evils. This is the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will not change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. You will not find anyone to change the rules of Allah. This is really some message that we get from these ayahs of Al-Quran Al-Kareem. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to Surat Al-Mustaqeem and give all of us tawfiq to follow the Sharia of Islam and come back to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَ عَلَى الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.